Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ron McLean from NHL Hockey on Rogers joins us for Century Casino Edmonton. Every day is a game day at Century Casino Sports Bar and Lounge. Head to Century Casino, 131st Avenue and Fort Road. Hello, Ron. How you doing?
I'm great, Bob. Matthew says his 67th. I'm sure you've seen that already. 2-2 in that game in Toronto, New Jersey Devils. Two quick things before we get to the game last night, which was I'm so with Luke Gastic. I thought Dylan Holloway was tremendous, and give Colin Chalk and Keith Gretzky and all the Condor connections praise for what he looks to be kind of a more confident guy. And anyway, two things. One is the Green Bay Packers. My hero, Dave Cutler, the great six-time Grey Cup champion kicker.
Dave Cutler was your hero?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love Cutler. I love Cutler and Wilkie, but I, in particular, worship Dave because I kicked field goals at high school in Red Deer. And, yeah, I just thought the world of them. They would come and do speeches in Red Deer. He was funny, as you know, Dave Cutler, extremely witty. He's a history teacher, so he's a genius. And he was tough. He was a middle linebacker at Simon Fraser.
Yes.
And when when he kicked that ball on kickoffs, you runner beware, because Cutler would take you out as well as Kepler or anybody else. That was tough. So, but he lost his chance at the Green Bay Packers to Chester Markle. They picked a sidewinder. You know, that was just coming into vogue now, with soccer-style kicking. And Markle beat him out of the job. And one of the reasons Dave didn't get the gig at Green Bay is because he used to tie up his kicking cleat. And that was deemed, I think, to be illegal in the NFL. They wouldn't let him use the cleat that he would use in the CFL. And that's not Red's problem, but whoever the equipment guy was back in the late 60s, maybe 1970, cost Dave Cutler a shot at the NFL, and thank God for that.
You ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Dave Cutler's son, Rob Cutler, was on my Pee Wee football team in Sherwood Park. Our team was called Consolidated Concrete, and unfortunately, that translated to my hands in hockey later that season. So.
I played for Mel's Paving in Red Deer, so same thing.
Same deal. And
but
then,
you know, I saw Rob, actually, when we did Scotiabank Hockey Day out in Victoria.
Yes.
He lives there, and it was fantastic to spend time with Dave. You know, he told me so many stories about how they did it with the Eskimos. They called themselves the Watch. And he said, you know, Ron, what the most important piece is in a watch? And I said, no, I don't. He says, well, because you can't know, they all have to be working for the watch to work.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our mantra. And he talked about going on the sideline at 35-yard line, and the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan were onto that, so they didn't have 35 painted on the sideline. So he and a bunch of the guys got bags of salt and actually put it down on the sideline so that he could have his superstition. Because his favorite number was 8. He wore 2-6 because of 8 and 3-5. All these things I learned from Dave through the years. Just an incredible human being.
Yeah, and then, so I was a teammate of Rob's, and then I did play-by-play for the Golden Bears in the late 80s, and my cousin through a marriage, Peter Gazelski, was the kicker, and he got replaced by John Cutler, Rob's younger brother. So there's the 6 degrees of Stauffer-McLean separation to the Cutlers.
Well, my first ever CFL game was at Clark Stadium, the old stadium, and Dave kicked a 52-yarder in a driving rainstorm. The Esks were 0-10-1. They had a tie. They had not won a game 11 games deep into the season, and Bruce Lemmerman had come
71.
In as the hero. Yeah, 71. So they try Lemmerman for 3 quarters. He's not getting it done. Larry Lawrence comes on in relief, and he hits McGowan with a bomb for a touchdown, and now they go to Cutler in this rain. Honestly, it was a tsunami, and or a monsoon, I should say. And I'm there with my father, and we're probably, I don't know, maybe 11,000 people in the stands. That's it. And Dave drives it through that rainstorm to win the game, and they never looked back. They won the remaining games that year, yep. And then they went on to all the Grey Cups.
Yeah, amazing stuff. All right, you said you had two stories. So the first
was... the other is about O.J.
Okay.
Because you opened the show with that.
Well,
Dave Staples, and you've got John Shannon. So it's kind of a journalism moment, as you said.
You have to talk about it. You do...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, it was Marshall McLuhan said, we shape our tools and they shape us. And that moment in time, not just the Bronco chase, but the trial itself, you know, it was really media as make it happen agents, not make you aware agents. And it was all about, you know, the presence of celebrity signifies nothing other than a self, but it's everything in the ratings. And I can tell you, Bob, that like Peter Jennings, everybody was really uncomfortable covering that story. They didn't know what to do. It came at them in a way. He was so appalled, he apologized to the Washington Post, Peter Jennings. He said, I was badly unnerved by the experience. He said, moments like that were reduced to the same level as the audience, and Time magazine had to apologize for their coverage. The New York Times had a preeminent columnist. He apologized for his coverage of the whole thing. It was like, as the guy Rosenthal in the New York Times said, are we journalists or are we garbage collectors? Because yeah. Everybody had, you know, dipped into this this craziness, and it took over the airwaves. And I know my hero in journalism is a guy named Lewis Lapham, who for a long time was the editor of the Harper's magazines and has published countless tomes on journalism. And he even said, you know, I'd always tried to point out that network television is idiocy, but he said, I found myself through that stretch trying to, you know, vote for the power of the word and for the construct of law and for cause and effect. And I was trying all these, you know, attempts to link things through this one issue, and we were all at a loss. And and for me, I was at Roger Neilson's coaching clinic in Windsor, Ontario, the night of the car chase. So, like you, you know, and the whole world. I mean, it wasn't long before people were out looking at TVs in Rome and Tokyo, and it just shows you that the medium was the message there.
It wasn't that the McLuhan, the medium.
Yeah,
was,
you know, exactly.
Yeah, Marshall McLuhan. There you go. We were joined by Ron McLean. Well, no, it was. It was funny because we had an entire crew from Edmonton in '94, and we were in Prince George, and we were all cheering for the Rangers because, you know, they had Messier and McTavish and Adam Graves and Kevin Lowe and Buka Boom and Glenn Anderson on the team. At six, Esa-Tikkanen would make it seven. So we all wanted the Rangers to win. I remember when the Rangers won game seven, and people in Prince George were driving around honking their horns after a loss. We were like, oh my God. But then everyone made me think of how lucky we were in Edmonton to have witnessed five Stanley Cups, because the Rangers hadn't won in 54 years. And so it was pretty cool. And then like a couple days later, all the Rangers are supposed to be doing a Stanley Cup celebration, and the chase takes place. And by the way, they sold a lot of Ford Broncos after that chase, right? That was
outside the county jail in Los Angeles, there were fans holding signs, you know, guilty or not, we love you, Juice. It was crazy. It was a really, you know, a really crazy experience.
Do you have a favorite ESPN 30 for 30, Doc?
No, I heard you mention that series is probably as good as it gets. You know, I mean, Wayne's was great, the trade.
Peter Berg, right?
Yeah, so but I can't say, Bob, that I've really filed through those. I'm more the reader than the doc watcher, but I did watch David Beckham's lately and loved it.
What did you think of that? What did you like about it?
I thought you know, the call. I thought his reaction on the getting red carded out, because I remember when France was playing Italy in the 2006, I want to say, World Cup, and Zizou, the star for France, you know, Manchurian headbutted the guy and got knocked out of the tournament.
He should have headbutted him harder.
Yes, he came home a hero. France loved him for it, whereas England dumped on the, you know, admittedly, it was a goofy little, you know, moment of petulance when he kicks at a guy, Beckham I'm talking now, and he gets red carded out of that game. And but I mean, there again, you know, just look what happened to David Beckham is a story and a warning about our media world.
Diego Simón, I believe, was the Argentinian, and he of course has coached Derek Van Dijsselbloem, and Steven Sandor will not be happy with me. Somebody text me on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. What's the team in the La Liga that punches above their weight class? It's like the second or third best team every year. That's not Barcelona or Real Madrid. There's another, maybe Atletico. Is that who I'm thinking of?
Yeah, you got me.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's funny.
I do know that when Calgary lost the Stanley Cup to Tampa in 04, Habib Boulin was wearing a Juventus soccer shirt the whole time. Every time I saw him, hotel, the Westin in Calgary down in Tampa, he was like, that was his lucky charm, was a Juventus, is that how you say it?
Yes. Well, Gene Principe would know that for sure.
Yeah, he's... it's on my bailiwick, that's
remember,
for sure.
Well, remember when we used to have like the Toronto ITEL, was it the Toronto ITEL Canadians were the name of the team in the NASL for a while, or the Cryosh? Yeah. They had all those sort of ethnic tie-ins. I know the Edmonton Drillers, had Hans Kraaij coached the team, and they had a bunch of Dutch guys. Right. And I loved Johan Cruyff, so, you know, I didn't mind that at all. Someone text us and educate us. All right, let's get to the Edmonton Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights, Ron, last night. What'd you think?
Well, Holloway, first shift, you know, a big hit on, he just bowled over McNabb. Kind of, McNabb was standing still. It was a funny hit, but it showed the strength of Dylan. And he was in front of the net on the Ekholm goal. He scored himself. As Gazdik is going to say to Reed, I heard a clip played earlier there, he just seems to have way more confidence. And that's, you know, it's been a slow go, and I honestly think, you know, when you've got stars like McDavid and Draisaitl and expectations like the Oilers have for a kid like Holloway, that is a lot. But it feels like this time it's his time. It's only one game, I realize. But, you know, whatever he did glean from Colin Chalk on defense and responsibility, he just looks comfortable. And that was a great performance by him. I thought Skinner was great. Draisaitl's always Draisaitl. You know, they looked... you know, without Connor, the only thing I would say is you missed Holloway can fly and Ryan McLeod can fly, but God, you missed McDavid, right? For the entertainment factor in that game, it was just what is this? You know, like who? I mean, and I realize, as you've said, you know, Vegas is missing five guys, so it's not like they're at full all cylinders, but it wasn't much to watch. It was just impressive on the Edmonton side.
All right, Ron, I'm going to read you some really boring stats. Okay, Pacific Division. As of U.S. Thanksgiving, November the 23rd, Vegas 14-4-2. They had the second best record in the league. Vancouver had the third best record in the league at 13-6-1. L.A. had the fourth best record in the league at 11-3-3. Edmonton was 30th at 5-12-1. That was as of U.S. Thanksgiving. And they used to say if you're out of U.S. Thanksgiving, you're done. Well, guess what? You're not. Since U.S. Thanksgiving in the Pacific Division, Edmonton, 43-12-4, best record in the NHL. The Canucks, 35-16-8, the ninth best record. LA, 30-23-8, 14th best record. Vegas, 28-24-6, 20th best record. Did you see that coming? Like, you're on our show, Oilers Now. Yeah. You're probably thinking, what a year to come on the show, 5-12. All right, the floor is yours, and shut up for the next 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, I think we all kind of hinted at that turning point series of the games in Carolina and Washington. As you know, Jamal Myers was talking about something different the other day when he was on Sportsnet. He was talking about Chicago Blackhawks in 2013. And they got out of the gate. They went unbeaten for, like, the first 24 games of the season. And then they stumbled down the stretch. And when they got into the playoffs, he said it was like we were able to just flip a switch. And I was always taught you can't just turn it on and off. But he said that Blackhawks team could do that. And he didn't say anything about Vegas, but I was kind of looking at them. Again, a lot of injuries right now. And I don't think Aiden Hill is, you know, mind you, Corey Crawford. It's not like a five-time Vezina winner. So I think Vegas, because they've been so around it for six consecutive years, I think they've put together the kind of team that could turn it on. And so beware of Vegas come the Stanley Cup playoffs. As for the Oilers, same thing. You know, I know, you know, Connor and Draisaitl and these guys would never say we thought we could flip a switch. But I think most of us who watch that talent, felt that it was within them to flip that switch. Colorado's got that talent. It's just a core group of guys that have it, but they're such an influential core that you expect they're going to be able to flip a switch when they need to, and they've done that repeatedly this year. Whenever they get into a little bit of a funk, they seem to know how to get out of it.
Ron, let me ask you this. Do you think maybe sometime, like, you know what, Colorado was flat out better than Edmonton in the 2022 round three. They were. Yeah. That's all there was to it.
Yeah.
Vegas, it was 2-2 after two. The Oilers had leads in game five and game six. They didn't get a lot of beneficial calls in game five. Aiden Hill played great in game six. Vegas won the best of three. When it was
Right. I remember Broberg, right? He had two penalties, as I recall, yes. And Janmark doubled up with him to go. They went down two men. And those were vital. You know, that's Edmonton led every game in the series. Draisaitl had a four-goal game to kickstart the thing, and they lose 6-4. And that was just, you know, I don't remember the bench minor. Do you in game one? Because often game one is a real harbinger of how the series will end. And that was the night Draisaitl had four goals, but Edmonton took a bench minor. They were trailing by one. Draisaitl got them to within 1-5-4. And then I just remember it was a too many men on the ice, but I've forgotten the specifics of the too many men. Doesn't matter. But that's a killer, right? That's just one of those penalties. They got the empty net clincher, and that really hurt. And then the two penalties, Janmark and Broberg in game five, that really hurt. And then it's talent. That's that Marchessault guy. It's funny. They used to be misfits, these guys. And now they're, as you said, with Kelly McCrimmon, they seem to be in on every elite player that's available, and they get them. So they're no longer a team of misfits. They're a team of the best of the crop.
Well, and you get what they're doing, because they're sitting there saying a late first-round pick, and we know what the math is. Once you get out of, like, 24 overall, by the time there's any impact, you're better taking the immediate help for the next 3 or 4 years if you can get the player extended. It totally makes sense. Well, the final chapter in the Oilers book is far from written, but what a season it's been so far. Ron, we love having you on the show. Look forward to, I know the Oilers, we've got Oilers in Arizona on NHL Hockey and Rogers tomorrow night. It's a jam-packed show. Joaquin Gage is going to join Gene during the intermissions, and then Jack and Louie have got the call, but then you guys have got the game on Edmonton-Vancouver. You got to be looking forward to that on Saturday.
That is a big one. Yes, absolutely. The Coyotes and Connor may be day to day, but we got the. And that's just salt in the wound. But anyway, we've got the real.
Nicely done.
There we go for you.
Let's have at it. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Okay, Bob.
You
say
bet.
Hi to the guys. Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye bye. 5:49 in Edmonton. Time for you to participate on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. What is the name of the documentary going to be on the 2023-2024 Edmonton Oilers? What's the name of the doc going to be? You text us at 780-496-0063. Let's get creative here. Because I've got to think, when I read those numbers, that you're thinking back, holy crap, the Oilers were 30th in U.S. Thanksgiving. And they've had the best record in the NHL since. Vegas, Vancouver, and L.A. were wagons at the start of the year. Vegas is the team of those three with the worst record. LA's lost more games than they've won. They're 30-23-8 since then. Vancouver, they were on a PDO heater for about the first 20 games of the year. They've actually been a top 10 team in the league in terms of the advanced analytics since then. So we'll get your thoughts on this season that has been Edmonton and what would be an aptly named Oilers documentary for the season. What's the final chapter going to be? You tell me. You're watching the team on a nightly basis. Text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. You're listening to Oilers Now.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
One of the funniest things I saw this year on Twitter was courtesy. Have you heard of the show called Spit, in this podcast, Spit and Chicklets, Brendan? Have you heard of this, Spit and Chicklets?
Come on.
Anyways, the Rear Admiral, they were really stuck one day and decided to have me on, and I tried to do everything possible not to swear, which I occasionally do when I MC an event, because sometimes you need to shock people so they know that they're allowed to have a good time. Golly shucks darn. The Rear Admiral, when Edmonton was playing Pittsburgh, remember when they beat him at home 6-1? The Rear Admiral put out on Twitter, he said, "I'm watching this gruesome nature documentary right now. A bunch of oil workers are just mercilessly pummeling this colony of penguins, and nobody is doing anything." So sad. It was really funny. So it brought me to thinking, well, what about potential names of documentaries for the Oilers season? IMAX says no LTIR needed. Wow, that's like No Jacket Required. Wasn't that a album for Phil Collins back in the day? This one comes in also. What about Blankin' Time? That text comes to us, 780-496-0063. Norm from Yellowknife, all the way up in Yellowknife. There we go. It ain't over till it's over. That is going to be the name of the documentary for the Oilers season. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, did we get punked by the Oilers at the start of the season? Keep bringing up 780-496-0063. The Fall Guy. And the old coach is on the cover. There we go, referring to Jay Woodcroft. Was Jay the Fall Guy? I don't know. Again, you can text us, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Flores text line. This one comes to us from Keeks out of Calgary. He says, the Oilers' theme for the season should be, "Do You Believe?" Wasn't the Mary Lou Retton thing with John Tess when he used to do like those super syrupy, sappy things on CBS back in the day with women's gymnastics? this was not bad. I don't mind this one. What about From Woody to Knob? That will be the name of the documentary that's on the Edmonton Oilers. That's somewhat creative, lowbrowed, but somewhat creative. This text comes in, A Tale of Two Teams, as opposed to one of the books that unfortunately 98% of us had to read, right? The Charles Dickens classic, A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Tonight's the night we make. Oh, wait, that's a song. Was that Styx? Someone text me, 780-496-0063. Frank says, in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. From The Stranger by Albert. Is it Camus or Camus? What are we going with here? I think it's Camus. Nicely done. I guess I should know who that is. If he was a right winger, I probably would. I didn't mean that in the political sense, though I probably would there as well. The Great Resurrection Season. That one comes to us from Sean in Black Falls. Clint wants to get in. Oil, still a hot commodity. The name of the Oilers 2023-24. See, guys are, you know, and they say there's a lack of creative juice out there in society. I completely disagree. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. That will be the name of the Oilers documentary. We'll do a few more of these. We'll head it off to a global news weather traffic update. By the way, those were all awesome texts. They're entered to win the Text of the Week drop, where winners receive 3 months of washes at My Favorite Car Wash, Great White Car Wash, 100-04 169th Street. Randy Kilburn, global news weather traffic update, and back with David Staples, Cult of Hockey.